to Shortwave, a PBS NewsHour podcast about foreign events that have an impact close to home. I'm NewsHour foreign affairs and defense reporter-producer PJ Tobia. It's one of the most anticipated sporting events of the last 20 years. Undefeated American boxer Floyd Money Mayweather will finally face the other great champion of his generation, Manny the Pac-Man Pacquiao. This is a hot ticket. As many as 4 million homes are expected to shell out around $100 to watch the matchup on pay-per-view. That would definitely be a record. Vegas is also seeing some eye-popping numbers. Anywhere from $80 to $100 million are expected to be wagered on this fight at betting windows in the city of Sin. But most Americans don't live in Vegas. That won't stop some of them from betting on the matchup. The illegal sports betting market in the U.S. has been estimated to be as high as nearly $800 billion. That's billion, with a B. About half those sports bets are now made online. That's according to a joint study by the Sorbonne in Paris and the International Center for Sports Security, a Doha-based nonprofit. And when American sports bettors play the odds on the web, they risk crossing paths with international organized crime.
Organized crime groups are heavily involved in the sports betting realm, and they use these online sports books to facilitate it.
That's Supervisory Special Agent Nicholas Chevron of the FBI. He investigates illegal gambling and organized crime. He wouldn't comment on if Mayweather Pacquiao would be a moneymaker for international gambling rings. He wouldn't even tell me who he thought would win the fight. He did say that if you're placing a sports bet online, you might actually be funding global criminal enterprises.
If the sports book is owned and operated by organized crime, you're funding organized crime. Those profits are coming back to organized crime for them to use for their own means, but also to fund other illicit activities. I'm in a section that targets traditional La Cosa Nostra, Italian organized crime. However, I sit in a section that investigates Asian organized crime, Middle Eastern organized crime, Eurasian organized crime, and we're seeing all groups are getting involved in this because it's simply the amount of money that a group can make with a limited exposure of risk. It's amazing.
Experts say that many of these sites are based in Asia, where placing bets from iPhones and Androids is not uncommon.
Well, we're talking about traditional criminal organizations, really. We're talking about the triads in Southeast Asia, the Chinese triads. We're talking about any form of offshoot organization from those Chinese organizations.
That's Chris Eaton, formerly the head of security for FIFA. Now he's the executive director of Sport Integrity at the International Center for Sport Security, that Doha-based NGO that I mentioned earlier. I reached him by phone in Paris. He says that because gambling is illegal in much of the world, mobsters have taken control of the betting, especially online. He likens it to selling booze during America's Prohibition era.
It is really a replication of the 1920s of the USA, but it's in Southeast Asia.
Now, if I were going to a speakeasy, really anywhere in the US, but especially in the Midwestern United States in the 1920s, and I bought a beer, I was really buying a beer from Al Capone. Is it the same kind of thing with placing a wager? If I'm placing a wager online, am I placing a wager with the triads?
The fact is, you cannot tell today. These websites look so authentic, so professional. It doesn't mean, though, they're not illegally owned or illegally operated.
FBI agent Chevron says the sites go out of their way to look legitimate.
If you go to any of these websites, they say, you know, fully accredited. You know, some of them have Better Business Bureau stickers on them. So it gives that kind of perceived legitimacy to just the common everyday bettor that might think, well, maybe there's nothing wrong with this.
The sports betting sites most likely to have connections with international gangsters are often based in what experts call gray markets. These are a handful of countries like Costa Rica or the Philippines, where gambling is legal, but very lightly regulated.
Regulation is almost non-existent. Such simple things as the beneficial owners are not known. Who owns these massive sport betting organizations with turnovers of $100 million a year? No one actually declares that. The regulator certainly is not interested. So they are able to hide the owners of these organizations and the people who work for them.
So how does this work? How exactly does global organized crime profit off these gambling websites? Well, for one thing, criminals don't even have to run a gambling website to take advantage of it. These sites are an easy way to launder cash earnings from prostitution, drugs, and other illegal activity.
Let us say you have a large drug dealing operation, and they might have, you know, $100,000 U.S. in cash. Their task is to turn dirty dollars into gambling wins.
John McMullen is a professor at St. Mary's University in Halifax. he spent 20 years studying gambling and, more recently, gambling and cybercrime. He says that the money laundering process starts with our hypothetical drug dealer opening an account with an online casino.
He might be based in China. The casino might be based in, let us say, Antigua. They verify his identity. He deposits a small amount of money from his bank account to bet on a sports event that's happening, let's say, in the United States or Europe.
Our drug dealer plays for a while. He wins some, he loses some. It only cost him about 5% of his initial deposit, which is what most sites charge.
He then withdraws his money. He wires the money through a transfer system to several bank accounts that he might have in an offshore bank account in Switzerland or in some other area where the rules and regulations about bank accounts are relatively secret and not transparent. And just like that, 95% of the money is laundered.
McMullen is quick to point out that the online gambling universe is large and diverse. Some websites are well-regulated, backed by transparent governments, and feature solid security software.
On the other hand, you also have a substantial marketplace that is unregulated.
So now you know that some gambling sites also help launder drug money. That's probably enough to keep you from giving these sites your personal information. But if you still want to try your luck gambling online this weekend, know this. Some mobsters use these sites to target their own customers, the gamblers.
What they do is they create a fake site. It looks exactly like a bona fide gambling site, whether that's a lottery or a bingo or a casino. And they collect information from gamblers. They last on the net for maybe two months at the most. They collect that information, and they use that information for criminal purposes such as identity theft.
And when there's a big event like this weekend's mega fight, new kinds of cybercrime become lucrative.
Because there's a lot of action, they become targets for organized crime because organized crime knows that there's going to be a lot of activity on these sites. And so what they try to do is launch DDoS attacks against them.
A DDoS, or dedicated denial of service attack, is when hackers flood a website's servers with visits, overwhelming its ability to do business. It's kind of like after a football game when everybody heads to their car at the same time. The engines are on, but nobody's going anywhere.
They hold that site up for ransom at a time when they know there's going to be an enormous amount of economic activity. And the site, if it's not well protected, if it doesn't have substantial security, is put in a position where it either has to shut down or basically pay a ransom.
That's not going to happen in legal betting operations in Vegas. But back in those gray market-based websites we mentioned earlier,
it can very well happen to some of the sports betting exchanges and operations operating in unregulated and lightly regulated jurisdictions. There have been many cases of cyber extortion in online betting, actually, in the United Kingdom, to the tune of millions and millions of dollars on a yearly basis.
Meanwhile, U.S. law enforcement is trying hard to keep up. Special Agent Chevron says that the FBI has busted more than a few U.S.-based leaders of international gambling rings.
And they're all the same, 10 to 20 individuals indicted, millions of dollars seized. You could find as many examples as you're willing to look for. There was a recent case into the sports book known as Macho Sports. They were operated largely out of Peru, Norway, with a large base in San Diego, Los Angeles area. They were doing exactly what we've been talking about. They operated in online illegal sports book, hundreds to thousands of bettors in the U.S.
He's referring to a pair of brothers who ran the Macho Sports gambling website. Bettors would place wagers on the South America-based site, and hired muscle would actually collect the debts in person. In the summer of 2013, the FBI arrested the brothers, as well as 16 others spread over three countries. They also seized over $5 million in property.
They're facing significant charges.
Finally, FBI Special Agent Chevron wanted me to remind you that for most Americans, placing an online sports bet is still illegal, even if you're doing it on a safe and secure website with non-criminal backers.
For the average American citizen, a single act of placing those bets is a federal violation. It is, outside of Nevada, illegal to do any sort of online sports betting.
That's it for Shortwave. Enjoy the fight this weekend. I'm hoping for a late-round knockout, but I'm not betting on it. Shortwave is a production of PBS NewsHour. Sarah Just, executive producer. Justin Kenny is NewsHour's senior producer for foreign affairs and defense. Travis Dobb is creative director. Vanessa Dennis created the graphics for Shortwave. The theme music was composed by Jeremy Gibson. Jenny Martyr and Margaret Myers edit Shortwave's online content. Natalie Boyd offered production and transcription assistance. Additional transcripts by Marina Lopez and Sherry R. Nabi. Special thanks for editorial oversight and inspiration to Hari Srinivasan. I'm your host and producer, PJ Tobia. I hope you'll join us next time for Shortwave.